Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Wednesday. We got a very special guest for you today on the podcast, USC legend Lendale White. You can follow him on Twitter at @real_Lendale. Of course, you'll remember he was an All-American in 2005 for USC, went on to play for the Tennessee Titans and Denver Broncos. And we're glad to be able to bring Lendale into the show and talk about his newest endeavor. Lendale, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's we kind of keep in touch over social media, which is, you know, fun. You can do that nowadays. But saw you had some a new venture out there, something new going on. So maybe you want to kind of explain what that is.
Oh, yeah. Right now, me and a good friend, Bo Skate, we wanted to start like a new like podcast, TV, kind of like radio thing, just something where former players would have a platform to come on and, you know, pretty much talk about the positive things that's going on. When I say media, sometimes I really mean media, and that's like the media from an outside stand of outside point of view. They're not really digging or finding out what's going on. They just hear what's going on and they report on it. They don't really know what's going on with the player. They don't sit down and talk to the player until after they report on it first, you know. But our platform is trying to figure out. Not even figure out. We're not focusing on the negative. We're just focusing on the positive and what the positive athletes bring to the table. And that's about it.
So, I know you guys just started the show. Where can people, find it if they want to check it out with you and Bo?
All my social media platforms, like I said, Twitter at @real_Lendale, @ShowcaseWhite for Instagram. And on Facebook, just Lendale White, but I'll be posting the link in all my bios. So in all the bios, you'll be able to. I mean, yeah, in all my bios, you got to click the link and it'll go to all the past shows and the most recent.
All right. Well, we actually have, I want to talk to you a few things about been going on. We have some questions from our readers on USCFootball.com. I wanted to get you too. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention our sponsor for today, ZipRecruiter. So if you're hiring, I don't know if you're hiring, Lendale, but if you have a job, if you have a company, you're hiring?
Not right now. I will be hiring soon for another endeavor I got going on, but I'll be letting it know. I'll let it be known soon.
Nice. All right. Well, there you go. You could use this. If you know the best place to post your job and find the best candidates is ZipRecruiter. So it's a different kind of company. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So you don't have to juggle emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So you can find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And as right now, all the Peristyle Podcast listeners, you too, Lendale, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. So go to ZipRecruiter.com/USC. So that's simple. ZipRecruiter.com/USC. One more time for a free job posting. ZipRecruiter.com/USC. All right. We'll let you know, Lendale, when you have to, your next endeavor comes along, you got to hire people. We'll talk to you with ZipRecruiter.
Okay. We'll make it happen.
Just I want to give a little background. So we have listeners of all ages. There's some, you know, new students that maybe they only know Ronald Jones as far as USC running back goes. You know, there's guys that, you know, go back to, O.J. Simpson and, Mike Garrett and, you know, Marcus Allen and all that kind of stuff. So many great running backs at USC. Charles White. So many great running backs at USC. Sam Bam. But yeah, what the crazy thing is, no one has more touchdowns than Lendale White. You have 52 touchdowns, more than any of those tailbacks ever had at USC.
Yes, sir. I used to find the end zone a lot. I got to give a lot of credit to the big hogs up front. You know, the Sam Bakers, Ryan Khalil, Deuce Latouille, rest in peace to Fred Matua. Those guys used to make it happen. I mean, it was easy when everybody on your offensive line, Winston Justice, everybody got drafted. So it wasn't hard to score behind, you know, a line where everybody gets drafted.
It was such a different time back then. It was really fun. I'm sure it was fun being on the team. It was fun covering the team. I mean, you can see on your Twitter avatar, you and Snoop Dogg, you know, it was a pretty fun time. I mean, did you enjoy your college experience before you went off to the NFL?
Yeah, I definitely did. Not looking back, I didn't realize how big college opportunity was. And I say that for all you young athletes that, you know, are in a rush to go get the money. Sometimes it's okay to stay in college and get the accolades and build up your reputation there, because that's something that will stick with you forever. But just going to USC and looking back on my career, I was beyond blessed. And I did so many things that I'm sure that any other player around the world would have wished they could have did at that time. I played in 3 straight national championship games, used to hang out with Snoop. You know, it was all kind of things. It was just ridiculous. So that was probably one of the funnest times of my life by far.
The, you know, you're in Denver, Colorado now, for people that don't know. That's where you're doing your show with the Players Lounge with Bo Scaife. But do you keep in touch with some of the guys from your team that are living in different places, L.A. or wherever?
Man, it's crazy you say that. I keep in contact with it's about 30 of us, 40 of us in a group text, and we talk almost every day. With that being said, happy belated birthday to Alec Holmes, because his birthday was just came up. But, yeah, I still talk to Keith Rivers, the Frosty, Lofa, Chris McFoy. You know, there's guys, Will Poole, Terrell Thomas, Dee Bird. I can keep going on. Darnell Bean, Chauncey Washington. I mean, the list keeps going on forever. Desmond Reed, Greg Carlson, Fred Davis, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush. I mean, yeah. The thing about, I guess, when you say we're a family at USC, we really meant that. And we all, Herschel Dennis, Lee Webb, I keep going.
That's great. Yeah, it's funny. I get to talk to some of those guys. Chauncey Washington, he was working for the Pac-12 Network, I think, for a while. I don't know if he still is, but I would bump into him sometimes. Matt Leinart's doing some real estate stuff now. I was actually just texting with him, so we're doing a little event. I think I told you about this. Thursday. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're in LA, Thursday at the USC Village, starting at noon, go until about 3 o'clock. We're going to do like a big Facebook Live show down there, and we're going to have Khalid Holmes and Keith Rivers, who you mentioned. They're going to come down, say hello to the fans. We'll have Gavin Morris, who's the director of player development at USC, and Clay Helton, head coach. He's going to stop by and say hello. So we're going to do a bunch of giveaways and stuff. But it's funny, there is a network there, because like if we have an event, you can just kind of go to your Rolodex or whatever. Not that you have those anymore, but text a few guys, like get some former players to come out. Everyone, you know, hanging out. They still love talking about USC football.
Yeah, it's easy. Like I said, if you needed me to get in contact with anybody right now, I could go to one little platform, text 50 of us, and somebody will get back to me with a reply. And this is an everyday thing. And this isn't just, you know, we're doing it for the cameras. We know about everybody's son or daughter that's been born. We know if you get married. We know all that stuff. We keep up with one another. And I think that's what makes the legacy so strong at USC. And I like what Coach Helton is doing, because Coach Helton is I don't want to take shots at none of the former coaches, but I mean, they can say what they want, but he is definitely one of the coaches that, without us reaching out to him, he reached out to us. He wanted us to be a part of the program. He wanted some of the older guys to come back and just be a part of that. And you, I respect the coach that, you know, could do that. And I see nothing but big things in Coach Clay's future, man, because I could just see the type of guy he is.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a good guy, and I really like that, man. He's accountable, and you can trust him. So I like it.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the former players, everyone I talked to, I mean, he's just such a genuinely nice guy. I went to, you know, just after practice yesterday, we kind of put this event over at the USC Village at Trader Joe's the last second, and you just go up to Clay, and like, before I even was asking him the question, he was like saying, yes, what do you need? You know, he's just this nice guy, like, yeah, I'll come over. You know, he's, and not saying that some of the former coaches would have done that, but he certainly does.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like I said, we ain't here to take no shots, because, you know, I love Lane Kiffin and Steve. So both of those guys are amazing coaches to me, and they helped me get somewhere in my career that I don't think without them I would be. So I have nothing negative to say about those guys at all. I just like the fact that when you have a coach and he takes time out of his day to make sure he calls you leaves you a message on your phone and stuff. And he still got to do all types of recruiting and still get kids to come, but he has time for his former players. It definitely shows you what type of character he has.
Well, Lindell, you ready to answer some fan questions from our message board, the Peristyle?
Yeah, let's lock them out.
Let's do it. Okay. Dolce Triad, I think how they say his name. Well, he wants to know if you've been to practice and how you feel the atmosphere and the competitiveness around practice compares to when you were a player.
So I haven't been to practice this year. I've been working on this podcast and trying to get that going. But I do have friends. Like I said, Will Poole is around there every single day. And I asked him about certain things. And he said that it's been a while since he's seen this kind of attitude around the team. So I can only take what my Trojans say. And Will Poole was a dog when he played for us. So if he says that, you know, that he sees a different attitude around there, all I can do is take that. So I definitely think that Clay and those guys are – he's bringing back a certain attitude. And I think they're on the right path for sure.
And then he also wants to know, what area do you feel Ronald Jones could grow in?
I think just be a little bit more patient. His explosiveness is there. He runs between the tackles really well. I just say be a little bit more patient. Sometimes you don't have to take the first cut. You can stretch it out a little longer, you know, make the lineman cheat more and then cut back with his speed and his explosiveness. If he gets a little bit more patient, he'll easily be a dope Walker winner. Like, I see that in his near future. That's easy.
Do you end up watching, like, the running backs more than other positions? Like, if you're just watching USC football, like, kind of analyzing, like, oh, I wonder, he does this well, not this well?
No. The thing about that, and I got to be honest, for some reason, over the years, we recruit tremendous at offense. Like, since me and Reggie left, you know, it's been a slew of running backs that have been able to take over the throne. Rest in peace to my Joe McKnight, my brother, CJ Gable, Allen Bradford, Chauncey Washington again. I mean, that list keeps going on. Some of the younger boys that I talked to, I can't think of their names right now, and I'm sorry, but they're in the field. Buck Allen, you know, all these guys, like, we have some running backs that have been able to take over. I think for me as a Trojan fan, I focus on the other side of the ball.
When
I go back to our routines and how great we were, people would like to, they give an offense and I'm not mad. I'll take all the glorification. But if you go back and really watch those games, man, we had a defense that could rival any defense in the world. Like, that was the defense. If you bring up a great defense, then, and you talk about the Miamis and you talk about like the Oklahomas and the Alabamas, there's no way in hell you can't bring up USC's defense. Like, I played with the defensive line where everybody on the defensive line got drafted. We got five linebackers get drafted. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think people understand how good our defense was and how Pete had those boys playing on defense. So even when we were playing back then, Pete wasn't no offensive guy. Pete wasn't down there, you know, looking at us and what we do. I think he kind of figured we had that on lock. But he was down there with the defensive boys, and for some reason you could see that – You've seen it. You've seen the mirror when he was down there with him. So I would like to see our defense this year. And I know we got some guys, you know, President Jack, I call him that. I'm definitely looking forward to him making some players. Marshall, you know, there's some guys that's out there that should be making some plays for us this year. So I'm anxious to see what the defense can bring.
We have one from Brian Edwards. He said, who was a player on offense and on defense that you played with that you felt was underappreciated and was really a good player who never really got an opportunity to shine while at USC? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, cause, I mean, that's I feel that so sometimes I was underappreciated, and I honestly believe that. Like when you said that at the beginning of the show that, you know, I'm the all-time leading scorer at the University of USC, like, I don't think people realize how big that is, you know, when you named it. When you name the Marcus Allens, the O.J. Simpsons, the Charles White, even the Reggie Bushes, like, when you name these people's names and my name's up there still, like, I honestly put my name out there. I don't, you know, people can get mad and say what they want about that. I would say me for sure.
I love it.
I honestly would say somebody like Dominique Bird.
Yeah.
Dominique Bird for sure. I think we had so many people with Dwayne Jarrett, Steve Smith, myself, Kerry Colbert, Mike Williams, Reggie Bush. We had so many people demanding the ball at the time that it was hard to get everybody a lot of things. I think if D Bird could have caught 80, 90 balls in a year, he could have been a first round draft pick, a high first round draft pick, and he would have made plays on somebody's team. I honestly believe that. I got to say Dominique Bird, man. It was ridiculous. And Lofa Tatupu, he's another guy. I don't think people realize as how good he really was until Texas when he left us and they realized, you know, what kind of help we needed back there.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that. Because if we would have had Lofa that year, we easily would have with three-peated. Him alone, he changes the game that much. He left that year and what he left that same year and became a Pro Bowl player in the NFL. So obviously we know what type of player he was.
Yeah. It's funny. Your underrated guys all made the NFL. So it couldn't be too bad.
Yeah. I mean, Bush, there's some guys that got chance. He was a big dude. That was bad. Just, it was a physical specimen. You know, it was crazy. Justin Wyatt, he might not have been appreciated as much. There are some guys. I mean, I played with so many guys. Dallas Sark, Ryan Grudegood. Those are names right there. Two definitely players that probably should have got a chance to go to the next level and get a really good look, because what they were doing on defense for us at USC was ridiculous as well. So, I mean, Dallas Sark and Ryan Grudegood.
Matt Grudegood. Animals. It was Matt Grudegood, yeah.
I mean, I'm tripping. Yeah, I don't know why.
That's okay.
CTE, that's what CTE would do to you. You forget.
Oh, man.
Matt Grudegood. I'm sorry, Matt. I know you probably out there ready to kick my ass, but I apologize. And Matt Grudegood was probably, other than Lofa, I mean, as far as dog, he probably was the biggest dog we had on defense back then.
Yeah, he was, he played a quarterback at Modern Day, I believe, and then,
I remember them tapes. I've seen them tapes.
Yeah.
Now you know, I'm and another person, somebody probably never would have got to hear about it because of concussions, and it stopped him too early. Was Salo Ferriamo.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, man, that kid was ridiculous back then. Like, I seen a tape where he played against Reggie Bush in San Diego, and I'm not going to really say nothing, but I think everybody should watch that tape, and I think they would definitely give him a pat on his back.
Wow. All right. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, Salo Ferriamo, man, for sure. Oh, my God, I'm tripping. Whitney Lewis.
So people
Whitney
look
Lewis
at...
Said he bought, Whitney Lewis had the greatest highlight tape to ever come out of California I've ever seen. It was the greatest highlight. Better than Lorenzo Booker. Better than Steve Smith, Reggie Bush. You can name all the people. I ain't never seen a highlight tape like Whitney Lewis. He's the number one guy. Whitney Lewis.
So if you ask USC fans, most people think he's the biggest bust of all time.
I don't think he's a bust, man. See, like, again, people think about negative shit. I'm sorry about my language.
No, you're fine.
People always tend to – I'm not going to say bust. You can never say bust with me because I know what type of game that these coaches play with you on this level. It's not a high school football no more. When you get to college, they get to play with your mind there. And only the strong survive sometimes. Sometimes at 17, 18 years old, man, you're not ready for somebody to be playing with your mind like that. So sometimes you can take it or you can go either way. People don't realize that. I'm not going to sit here and say Whitney Lewis was a bust. I can't even say that. Because if you see what Whitney Lewis did in high school and to get a scholarship, that's not a bust. A bust is somebody that never went to college. A bust is somebody that, you know, Al Bundy. You said in high school, I threw for touchdowns. If you went to the University of Southern California and you got a full ride scholarship, there's no way you could be a bust. Now, people got to look at the in-between. There's people that come to you that's giving you things. There's people that's trying to take you away from your family. There's all that in-between. And sometimes we need to coach more like they said they were going to be when they came into our house and when they told our mom that they're going to be like our dad, and that they're going to put our best, you know, everything, they're going to put our best in the forefront, and they're going to do everything they possibly can to make us better men. You know, they say that, and then when you get to this college, it's like, damn, if you're not producing on this field, they can go to give a hell about what kind of man you're going to become. I've seen coaches with my own eye kick players off the team, not knowing circumstances or not knowing exactly what's going on with these kids. And realizing that, and I know that these coaches realizing them being at USC was the best thing for them, and then kicking them off wasn't going to do nothing but send them back to Compton or, you know, the Watts and all that. And that's not good, you know, but I've seen coaches do that. So when us as, you know, just fans of the game sometimes call people a bust, you got to look at all the in-betweens. You're not looking at these head coaches playing with these kids' minds. You're not looking.
Hey, Lindell, I think we're losing you there.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Okay, sorry.
I've been lied to so many times by head coaches. It's ridiculous. They tell you one thing, and then another running back go in that room, and they tell a running back the whole other thing. And they don't realize that we're friends. Like, that's the thing. We're in the trenches together. So if you tell it one player something, 9 times out of 10, he's definitely going to come tell me because you're not out there with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, man, it's a lot of fraud going on. There's a lot of fakeness and stuff going on within the coaches telling players what they need to hear and all that stuff. And that's where busts come from, because they're not all the way honest sometimes. They're not telling these kids what's really going on. You're telling them what they want to hear instead of telling them what they need to hear.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's not just talent. There's a lot of other factors that go into that. Yeah.
If you get anybody else on the show, Ryan, right now, and you ask anybody else about Whitney Lewis' talent, I guarantee you they say he easily could have did it. He was 260 pounds at fullback playing with me, and he came and played. He was receiver the year before, and then the next year re-lost all the weight and then played receiver again. Whitney Lewis did whatever he wanted to do. He could do anything he put his mind to. It was just, you know, at that time we had Steve Smith, Dwayne Jarrett, Mike Williams. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah. Were people saying, how do you bust when you have three All-Americans in front of you?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Gate Call had a couple questions. He said, first one, will you be cheering for Zach Banner in the NFL?
Zach Banner's soft, man. I hope he make us look good. All that tough guy stuff that he possesses in the league, it's a whole nother world, man. And listen, Zach is probably a great kid, but when it comes to like all that football talk and all that, like, yeah, he could do all – he could, like – I got to see it on the next level. I ran 4,000 yards. I even scored over 15 touchdowns. I just didn't work hard enough in the NFL. Once I got it, I thought I had it, and you didn't have to do nothing else. That was my biggest problem. But again, Zach Banner, he's a Trojan, so I always want nothing but the best for him. But he better not slip up, because there's going to be a lot of people waiting to see what he do. And he's, after making some of the comments he made, you know, there's a lot of people that definitely want to see what he can do.
Yeah. And then he also wants to know, do you think the team we saw in the Rose Bowl was tougher than the team that we saw at Utah?
Man, Utah soft. I don't know how we lost to Utah anyway. Like, that's a game. Listen, you shouldn't lose to no Utah. You shouldn't lose to no Oregon State, man. You shouldn't lose. Like, that. Oregon, sometimes you could think, like, because they're going to get some elite athletes. But, you know, some of these schools, Penn State way better than Utah. That's why I don't know how we lost to Utah.
Yeah.
Answer that question.
They're usually pretty tough, though. I mean, they got big linemen, big Polynesian linemen on both sides of the ball. They're usually a pretty tough team.
Yeah, I mean, but when we was playing tough teams, the tough team was Notre Dame, which was acceptable because they're across the wall, you know, they're far from us, so they're getting different type of recruits. Like, Utah is Utah, man. I know if me, Reggie Bush, and all of us was playing against Utah, we would have beat them by 70 every year. I guarantee you.
I don't doubt that.
Colorado, too. Like, Colorado spanked them. Like, man, bro, there's teams. When we used to go to the locker room, we knew that there were certain teams that we were going to win. Like, when you go play Arkansas or Alabama, or, you know, Virginia Tech, when you go play teams like that out of conference for your first game, like, you even got confidence that we're going to go sweep them and whoop them. Like, we didn't think we were going to lose to nobody.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get that mentality back with them. And it's a thought process. Like, when you really believe, and that's one thing Pete had us believe in. I mean, say what they want, but Pete made us believe that we would never lose. And you know what I mean? And I lost 2 games in my career, and one was in triple overtime, and one was, you know, last play of the game. So it's not like every game we had a chance to really win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's crazy when you say it like out loud. You lost 2 games in your career.
Two. And that's what I try to tell Zach. So before you talk about like legacies and what you're doing, like, bro, I'm a part of a legacy that they always want to stay there. That's what I was trying to explain to him. Like, you can't do, like, see, like, NFL is cool. Like, people going to remember that stuff. But this college stuff, like, I'm way up in New York. C fans up in New York, and they remember that. I haven't played college football in, what's it, 2013-something years, and or 10-something years, 11 years, and they still remember that stuff, man. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, so, like, they, this college football lasts with you forever, man. Just remember that.
We had a question from, this is interesting, SoCal Trojan 05, so he's a your year, I think. What were the biggest differences in playing under Norm Chow as offensive coordinator versus Lane Kiffin / Steve Sarkisian?
Because I can't speak now. I'm not going to. Just because I know the type of lash that I'll get back to that. I know. Now, with that being said, I know y'all can't wait for the soundbite, but I'm still not going to give it to you. The difference, there's not much of a difference, man. You know, with Norm Chow, you have a, with us as students or an athlete, you had patience. You know, like, Norm was very patient, and Norm also knew who his athletes were. Like, Norm knew what he had at all times. So he would come and tell you certain things in your ear, and you would already know that it was the truth, you know. And with Sark and them, I think they seen what Norm would do, and they try to emulate that. That's what I got from it. I didn't really get, no difference in the offense. Like, you know, it was the same type of things. I think maybe Lane threw the ball a little bit more, but I don't think that, or I think Lane maybe probably wanted to throw the ball a little bit more, but I don't really see like any difference. You know, like, I honestly, like, both offenses went out without no hiccups. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Ty0214, he wanted to know what you thought of Clay Helton, but I think you've already explained that, so that's cool. But then his second part was, any early impressions, if any, of Stephen Carr and his potential? So I don't know if you saw him. He's the 5-star running back that's coming in wearing number 7. I don't know if you got to see him yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some stuff on the internet. Well, there's a big, when you 5-star, there's a big thing on your back already. You gotta come in. Everybody in this day and age, in the social media age, everybody's reading these same things now. You know, when I was coming out, you probably had the little Tom Lenning magazine where you had to pick up from the store to figure out who the best was. Now you get to see this stuff on your phone. And so I know there's gonna probably be a target on him, but the thing about that is it's tailback you. So if he's a 5-star guy, he should be able to put up 5-star numbers. And he should be able to compliment Rojo real well if he needs a break. And, or I don't know if he's even where he is on the depth chart. I'm sorry, I don't know, because I know how high Rojo is. But I know if he learns from that guy, and just, again, patience is a virtue, man. The more patient you are and the more time you figure out this game, the better off you'll be. So I think if he just learns that patience and, you know, study from the older guys, he'll be all right.
He's looked good. I mean, they have a new running back coach, Dylan McCullough, who came from Indiana, and we're just not sure what the rotation is going to be, but he's been up there. Like, he catches the ball. He might be the best pass catcher out of the backfield. He can run block, but he can run. So I think you'll see a bunch of him, early on the season.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. Trojan P wrote in. He said, I met Lindell at a club earlier in the year when I was in Arizona. I just happened to be wearing my number 55 Seau jersey. Really cool guy. I just wanted to know, how does he think his career would have been if he came back for his senior year? I feel like he would have been the best running back in college football. Also, does he feel like getting drafted by the Titans wasn't a good team fit to fit his strengths as far as running a smash-mouth power game? Going to the Steelers or the Ravens would have been a better fit, in my opinion. That's from Trojan P.
Yeah. It's always a catch-22. You know, back when I was trying to come out of school, like, it was a lot going on family-wise. Your grandmother was sick. Rest in peace to her still, but she was going through a lot. So there were so many emotions running through my head trying to figure out if I should leave or stay. But ultimately, like, when you grow up broke and you need some money, you know, money is ultimately the driver. Like, looking back on my career, I definitely would have stayed another year because I know I would have been healthy. If I would have stayed healthy, I probably would have won a dope, the Heisman, you know, all those awards. Probably would have got drafted higher, and Lord only knows how my career would have went. But I don't think getting drafted by the Titans at all was a bad fit. You know, you got to think, when you put me and Vince Young in the same backfield together, you're probably thinking, like, that's magic going to happen. And we he won Rookie of the Year, and I also seen him, you know, do some other things together. I ran for 1,000 yards and over, you know, 14, 15 touchdowns. So, I mean, I don't really think the Titans were the issue at all. You know, they were able to put up 2,000 yard rushes and all. So, that's not really an issue at all.
Yeah, they run the ball. They've always seemed to run the ball well. So, yeah.
Right. I actually like being drafted by the Titans because, you know, Norm Child was there. So, there was no way in hell I didn't want to get drafted by the Titans.
Yeah, I think so. My wife's from Tennessee, from outside of Nashville. I don't know if you remember. You were like, I think at halftime in one of the USC games. I think you were still playing for the Titans, and she was broadcast journalism. So I would have her do some video interviews. So she did an interview with you like on the Coliseum field, like in the middle of one of the games. So she liked that because she's a Tennessee person.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, she's a Tennessee person, so she always loved, you know. So the fact that Adoree's in Tennessee now, she was like tweeting at him like, "Hey, this is great, you know." Come to my mom's house and we'll make your dinner or something, you know?
Yeah, that's dope, man. That Dory's out there doing big things right now, too. He's looking really good in that camp. So I'm expecting big things out of 25 this year as well.
Yeah, wearing your number.
Yes, sir.
Men's Crew 7677. I don't know if you know this, but initial impressions of Coach McCullough. So I don't know if you know much about Dylan McCullough, if you've read anything about him. Any impressions from him?
I think I met him a couple times in real life, so I'm not really sure. I want to see the game plan. I want to see how he used the rotation, and then I'll make a comment. You know, I ain't got no comment right now. I just got to see. Yeah. I need to see game time situations before I can react.
He has some really interesting ball security drills. Like he has a football that they'll fill like 80% with water, and then they have one that's on a string, and he can just keep yanking at it. So you're moving around and the football's constantly being like tugged away. So he has some interesting, like unique kind of stuff. And the players seem to gravitate towards him. He put, you know, had, Rojo put on some weight. He really likes, you know, something you would like, you know, yards after contact. He wants 3 yards after, you know, so you don't go down. So he's got a little bit different feel to him. He seems like a pretty good coach.
Yeah. I can't wait to see, man. So he got some challenge, so it ain't going to be hard.
Yeah. Let's see. Vassar Dad said, "Sorry to bring up a painful memory." And if you guys checked out Lendale's first show, he was showing like you didn't have all the decorations up yet. The only thing you had was like the Sports Illustrated cover of Vince Young after the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, celebrating.
So this is going to go back to that. He said, "I would love for you to settle a debate that has been raging for 12 years on the 4th and 2 in the national title game. Do you feel that Reggie Bush being on the field for that play would have caused Texas to account for him and made it easier for you to get the 2 yards? Or was that not a factor in the outcome?"
Oh man, I mean, it's a hard question, but I honestly, we all feel like Reggie should have been on the field, period. When you look at mismatches and all, if Reggie goes in motion, something happens. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We all know that. But that same play in the defense of all my coaches, man, because I'm not going to take shots at them like that at that time. That same play I had scored on 3 times earlier. So like, it's not like, you know, I had the cutback run. I had 3 touchdowns on that same play. So it wasn't like that play hadn't been worked. You know what I mean? It was just when it's jumbo personnel, man, it's kind of hard not to see what else is coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least if you do put Reggie somewhere in there, have him motion, somebody runs, and you ain't no telling what happens. But with that being said, I still love the play call that they drew up for that call, man. Like, it happened. There was some stuff that happened. I'm not here to call out nothing. There was some stuff that happened in that play, and I ultimately didn't get the first down. So, man, you can blame that on me. And for the rest of my life, I put that on my shoulders. I feel like I didn't get the first down. And, you know, I deal with that every single day on Twitter.
Really?
Every time somebody asks me anything. So, I mean, I'm getting pretty used to it now. And it's easier because people don't realize that was the third straight national championship game I played in. So I'm 2-3 in those. Like, as hard as it's hard to swallow. Like, shit, I still got more trophies than a lot of people's ever done. It's ridiculous.
Right.
You still got to look at all that. And I only lost 2 games in my career. Like,
right. Like
man, you know, me and Reggie put up numbers that I don't think nobody ever else has touched. You know, what me and Thunder and Lightning was able to do at USC, and you know, there's a lot of other running backs out there that I've seen people say, and, you know, they even give credit to the world. You know, we put up ridiculous numbers, man. So, like, you know, I take my career, and I love it. I'll take that loss because you got to take the good with the bad. That's why I take my two natties with the one natty I didn't.
Would you say that it was more because it was a short yard situation, it was more of a kind of a power, like maybe a little stubborn, or was it just kind of being too cute? Like, was it being a little too cute? Like, we're going to fool somebody. You're not going to put Reggie.
Not at all. It was a play we've been running all day and been blowing their ass. We've been whooping their butt on it. We have been whooping their tail on that same play all practice. So it wasn't like, I mean, all game. It wasn't like that play hadn't worked. It wasn't doing too fancy nothing. It was, you know, big man on big man. As Ed Ogeron used to say, this big man on big man. Yeah. You know, listen, it's time to get it done. Unfortunately, I couldn't get it done. But that play is something that you probably run 10 times out of 10 on goal line or like in a short yardage situation. So there's nothing fancy about that play. Basic 27 power. Drop back, you pull the guard around, you clear the plane, you get the first.
Gotcha. All right. Here's one from Double Wing 11. Can Lendell go over how he and Pete planned the rooftop hoax on the team? Details leading up to the hoax would be appreciated. So if you remember that, they faked like you getting, was it thrown off or jumping off the building?
Obviously, Pete kind of demented that. But yeah, he called me and Reggie in the office one day. He wanted Reggie to do it, but nobody would believe Reggie, you know, was freak out at practice like that. So, you know, it was way bigger with me, you know, just because they knew what type of dude I was. Like, I don't really stand for no punk stuff. So, you know, if I felt like I was being treated some type of way, they know I would speak up. So it was easier with me. And, you know, one day he calls us in and he's like, I need you guys to do this. And Reggie's like, yeah, I think Lendell should do it. You know, so I'm like, all right, I'll do it. You know, basically, so I'm going to go to practice. Only me, Reggie, one other coach knew, and Tino. So like me and Reggie the whole time, he's like, you got to get ready. He's like, you got to get in zone. You know, but the whole time he's doing that, I'm already in character. You know, I'm like, man, shut the fuck. Excuse my language. I'm like, man, shut the F up. You know, like, you know, I'm already getting mad. People like, man, what's wrong with Lendell? Not knowing, you know, we got this plan. So, you know, like 45 minutes, an hour of practice is going by. I'm out there just talking crap. You know, man, if y'all want to win all the time, you give me the ball. You know, y'all know I'm the best running back out here on the team. Like, and you know, all the players are looking at me like, what's going on with Lendell? Like, cause they know I talk stuff like that, but like, you know, I ain't never been a dude on field to just be wigging like that. So like, you know, I'm going overboard and they just looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? And I'm like, you know what? F y'all. Y'all ain't my team. I don't love none of y'all, man. I quit. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. Pete comes up to me and Pete, obviously, you know what's going on. He's like, what the hell is your problem? You know, I'm like, man, don't talk to me. You know, like, go down there at the defense. You know, like, go back there. Like, you know, you don't talk to me anyway. Like, go, you know, and they're like, man, Lendell, chill, that's coach. I'm like, F coach, you know, all that, you know, gassing it up.
Wow.
And he's like, you know what, F me? He's like, F me? You're off the team. You know, and I'm like, you know, I ain't got to get off the team. I quit. You know, I hate y'all. I'm done with this. Whatever. So I'm waiting. I leave the field. I throw my stuff. And Tino's waiting outside with the little cart. So he drives me around to the tower, the other side of the building. And, you know, they got it all planned up. You got all kind of ladders and all that. So I get up there and I yell. And I remember seeing three faces for sure. Darnell Bing and Ryan and Brandon team. And I just remember like, hey, you know what? I don't love y'all no more. I don't need this. I'm done, you know. And there was a dummy up there. So it looked like, you know, somebody's going to stop me. But as they stop me, the dummy goes over the board. And then all you could hear was like, you know, like the sounds of sighs and stuff. And like, you know, I could hear people crying and all. Like, it was crazy. So, you know, like coach was like, we brought the team up. And he's like, man, if that guy wants to quit, you know, people like, man, he just jumped, coach. You got to check on him. He's like, so we got somebody checking on him right now. Like, obviously, he knows what's going on. And he's like, man, if somebody wants to do that, we got to, you know, we're going to let him quit. You know, but we all, you know, we broke down the team. You know, they broke down the team. And so, and they, as they're leaving the team, the door opens, like, to the, you know, Howard Field. As the doors to the field opened up, you know, Ryan and Brandon team had seen me, but they were crying and they ran up to me and started giving me a hug and was like, oh my God, man, we thought you were serious, man. We didn't, you know, everybody thought it was real. So, like, I guess I had done a real good job.
Lindell the actor, nice. That's funny. Yeah, that's good. That's a good memory from back then. That was crazy times.
Yeah,
we got a couple more. We'll let you go. I know you're busy. Fourth Gen 71. Did you have a favorite memory playing for USC?
Memories at USC. I mean, there's so many. My favorite memory at USC is just being a Trojan. I mean, I only lost two games. I won two national championships as an All-American. There are so many memories. I don't know, man. I know holding that crystal ball. I remember I did the Deion thing. I got flagged in the national championship game for doing the dance. And then I remember I gave the ball to Fred Matua. God bless the dead, man. I gave Fred his ball so he could spike it. And I think that would probably be like one of the most memorable, because I remember I said I was going to do the Deion dance when I scored. And I remember I scored and I got up and we were up by whatever, 50 or whatever it was. And I said, I'm going to do it. And they threw every flag they had on that field. And I didn't care.
That's a good one. That'd be a good memory.
rest in peace to Fred, though, man. That was my guy. I remember he played with me in Tennessee. That was my guy. And I remember him standing right there to me, like, give it to me. I was like, here, go ahead. And he spiked it. It was crazy, man.
That's great.
That was a great time.
That's good you had a memory with that with him. Too many people have passed away from that. I mean, it sucks. It's just, you know, you've had to say rest in peace so many times, you know?
Yeah. Rest in peace to Mario Danilo, too, man. It's our kicker. That's unfortunate that you. Hey, and I have to say, man, it's unfortunate because I know Mike Williams is going through a rough time right now. His ex-wife just. So it was a tough time for us Trojans, but, you know, we all find a way to get together and build one another up, man.
Let's see. Running Fig had a question. Who's the best college defensive player you played against?
Best college football player. Ooh-wee. I mean, I was young when I played against some of them guys from Auburn, too. The big linebackers. Best football player. That's tough. My defense at USC.
Yeah.
they can say what they want, but them kids I had to see every day, the Ray Maliuga, Keith Rivers, Luther. They probably don't even remember a kid named Luther, but Luther, oh my God. Luther used to hit so hard.
Luther Brown, yeah.
He was the hardest. Luther Brown was the hardest hitting dude I've ever went against in my life. Him and Ray Maliuga.
Wow. Okay.
Do they remember that? Ray Maliuga, Brian Cushing, Clay Matthews. I don't think they all remember that. All them people were on the same squad together. This is ridiculous, right?
Kaluka Maiava was on there. Yeah.
Oh man, we have so many ballers. That stuff is ridiculous. My defense by far. That was the best. I went against the best defense in the same team, on my same team. Nobody was better than the USC defense that I've ever seen. Nobody.
And Tyler Castillo wanted to know, what about the hardest hitter you faced in the NFL?
Hardest hitting person in the NFL. Who did I hit? Get hit? In the league, man, you don't really get hit too hard unless you get caught slipping. I never really got caught slipping, so I can't really say nobody hit me too hard in the NFL. I can't say that. There's some strong people out there now. I mean, listen, Bob Sanders is one of them little guys. Bob Sanders, the coach back in the day, he was a guy that was he was going to throw all his might in it. He didn't care what he had. DeQuell Jackson's another one of them dudes. He used to play for the Browns. I'm not sure who he plays for now. DeQuell Jackson.
All
DeQuell
right.
Jackson used to hit thud, too. Steven Tulloch. That's one more boy out there. He's the third, too. I'll give it to him.
All right. Did you have a pregame meal or drink? He wanted to add, Running Fig wants to add it to his tailgate list. He said, fight on, LD.
Patron, you got to add some Patron to the tailgate list then.
Okay. You wouldn't do that pregame, though, right?
I mean, you know, night before, have a sip. You never know how I was feeling.
Nice.
pregame meal, you know, honestly, I was so nervous. I would never eat nothing but like probably like some fruit before the morning. So pineapples, strawberries, melon, rates, and that's about it. Drinks, I would probably drink, it's so weird, but I would probably drink like a root beer early in the morning. I had to have some type of soda before I play.
Oh, a little caffeine?
Or a cream soda, like vanilla cream, something like this. I had to. It was weird.
Cream soda before playing. All right. I haven't heard that one before. Yeah. That's different.
And you know, in our locker room at USC, they got them sodas and stuff in there. So I used to definitely sneak one of them before the game.
Well, speaking of soda, Pepsi Trojan has the next question. What's your all-time favorite run as a Trojan?
Favorite all-time run as a Trojan. Oh, well, that's easy. I have so many, but it was against UCLA when I broke the record, when I finally broke the touchdown record.
Oh, okay.
For being an all-time lead. I remember John David Booty was that quarterback. He handed me the ball. I went in, scored, and I remember I jumped in and I kind of threw the ball to the ref, but I went back quick and grabbed it and took it to the sideline. I remember that.
Cool. Lambda Chi Trojan, do you have a favorite stadium to play in besides the Coliseum in college?
I love Austin Stadium, man. Them Ducks up there, they do it.
Nice.
That stadium was I love playing up there. That was a place to play.
Cool. And then who's the biggest?
Go ahead. I remember me and Reggie, when we were coming back, and you know, like you could take the breath out of the stadium because they were so loud, you could hear like, you could feel it in your chest, like when they were yelling. And as we were coming back, I remember we went up, and me and Reggie did like a little handshake, and we did like something and stared at the crowd, and I remember the crowd started throwing all kind of crap at us, but that was one of the greatest feelings ever.
And then who's the biggest rival, Notre Dame or UCLA?
Cal, maybe. I would say Cal.
Over at Notre Dame or UCLA?
Those are chump squads. See, when I was playing, I don't know what you call a rivalry. I never lost to none of them chumps. So that, what is a rivalry? a rivalry to me is somebody you lose to and then you got to come back and avenge something. So I lost to Cal. The next year they brought A-Rod up there. He almost beat us again. That would be more of a rivalry than beating the sorry ass Notre Dame by 30 every year, or even UCLA, like they were trash, man. we knew that they were going to play up to us, to our level, because we were the best team in the nation that year, like every year.
Yeah.
But there was no time, even with Maurice Jones, Drew, and Mercedes Lewis, and none of them, like we knew we were going to beat them every time. There was never a time we was like, oh yeah, UCLA might beat us. They were trash.
You're going to make a lot of USC fans happy with that answer.
Notre Dame sucks. Ohio State sucks for sure. Texas is sorry. Bro, like these schools are really absolutely like, I feel that way. We all knew Vince Young's knee was down. Like, it's random that the replay don't work when his knee's down. There's just so much stuff that goes on in football that's hilarious. Like, they act like they beat us fair and square. Come on now. Like, there's things that happen in that game where, But the biggest rivalry, I'll say Cal, because Notre Dame and Boosie LA are nowhere near. They can't even compete.
Nice. We'll do a couple more. Sorry, I know you got to go. Six Brave Bulls. Number 21, were you confident when you entered the NFL? And why did weight become a struggle? Oh, interesting.
Weight wasn't really a struggle. When I was the biggest, when I got the fattest in the league, I ran for the most yards. So I don't think that was really an issue. When they said it was an issue, I came back the next year and scored 14 touchdowns or over 14 touchdowns. So that wasn't it. Bro, my biggest issue was I didn't work out in the offseason. You know, like I said, once I had made it to the NFL, I kind of thought I had made it. You know, it's that's what it is. And when I see some of these guys like the Reggie Bushes and even Chris Johnson, when I see like these guys and what it takes, like, what they've been doing in the offseason every year since they've been in the league, like, I see why I didn't make it. You know, I didn't put that much work in.
Yeah.
That's what it boiled down to, you know, and I know that myself. Had I put in the work, there's no telling what I could have did in the NFL. It was, you could say the weight issue, but again, like I said, when I weighed the most in the NFL, I ran for the most yards. So it's like, you know, I don't, they can say if they want. And I've always been confident. I still feel like if I put on a uniform right now, I can go be the best goal line running back in the NFL, easy. I scored on all the touchdowns that, you know, then people are getting stopped and they're like, oh, it's only a 1 yard touchdown. They think it's easy. Like, yeah, I'll be the guy that can get it.
All right. SC Rules LA. Do you think the college game scheme wise has started to look different since your days at USC?
Yeah, it's all spread. It's to spread the offense out and throw and hand these balls off while everybody's moving around. I mean, it's cool, but that stuff, as you notice, when you get to the NFL, it doesn't work. That does not work.
Yeah.
I don't care. Some people can run the spread offense, but even if you start noticing that it falls off eventually, right? Colin Kaepernick, when he was up there in San Fran, it did. You know, they thought it was going to be booming with Cam Newton and those guys. And you see it. It works for a little bit, but then it starts fading away. But I don't like that spread offense. I'm a traditional, you know, two back guy or two tight end, one back. Like, you know, let's run this ball and play action pass it.
And one last question for you. Big Nick, 21 USC. It was similar to what we'd asked before about players who didn't get enough credit. But one player he mentioned was Jason Leach. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. Jason Leach was a backbone. He was a strong safety or the free safety for our team. And he was an older guy. So, like, he was a guy that, you know, the defense will listen to for sure a lot. That's a good name you brought up, though, because, yeah, Jason Leach was definitely a backbone. And he was somebody that we were confident in having him back there because he always knew what to do. And he was a great leader with our defense.
Well, he's the all-time touchdown leader for USC running backs. Lendell White, follow him on Twitter.
I am.
The real underscore Lendale, the Players Lounge. So make sure you go check that out with him and Bo. And hey, Lendale, I really appreciate you taking the time. Man, we went 50 minutes talking about nostalgic USC football and what you think about the team. You know, thanks for taking the time for doing this.
Hey, thank you, man. Fight on. Anything for my chosen.
All right. Lendale White, make sure you follow him on Twitter. Hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the Peristyle Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.